Welcome to another message from the Gospel according to Mark, Cotta Marco. We have a very wonderful lesson tonight. We can only have victory in Jesus, and that is all. We can look to our own powers or our own abilities. If we do, we will fail. I remember several great men in my lifetime that I've studied. Theodore Roosevelt, probably, and the greatest president of the Americas there ever was Franklin Roosevelt. He built America. What Theodore started, Franklin ended, finished. There was a great man in England, later known as Sir Winston Churchill. He lived a long life, and like so many people in the world, he was insignificant except when he was needed most. He was born into a family of great wealth and fame. The Duke of Marlborough was his great-great-great-grandfather. His family had been an integral part of the British Empire for hundreds of years. And Winston Churchill helped Britain win World War I and the world in that great time of need, stood and fought and did what he could to bring democracy through that terrible time. In World War II, Neville Chamberlain was the, at the beginning of World War II, Neville Chamberlain was the Prime Minister. The King of England really liked Chamberlain a lot in Halifax. Reluctantly, they chose Sir Winston Churchill as Prime Minister because they were in a time of need, terrible need. The whole European world was going under the Nazi machine. When Churchill spoke to the nation, the Empire of Britain, for the first time, he said, "We're faced with a terrible enemy, a terrible, grotesque monster that is swallowing up the world." He went on to say, "You ask me what our policy shall be, it shall be war. It shall be war. War from air, from sea and land, in our streets, in our fields, wherever we go. And you ask me also," he said, "what shall be the result? It shall be victory." Victory when they were almost gone. It was almost done. They were almost conquered. Neville Chamberlain and Halifax, Lord Halifax, were ready to throw in the towel and make whatever terms they could with Germany, with Hitler. Churchill told them in a very harsh way, "You don't make terms of peace when your head is in the lion's mouth." Well, we know what happened. By the great leadership of Winston Churchill and Franklin Roosevelt, the war was the world was saved, so to speak. Also, when Churchill was called back as Prime Minister, all across the British Empire and everywhere that they heard the news, first of all, it said, Churchill is back. And what will Churchill do? What will he do? He's back, and what will he do? Well, Churchill only had one thing in mind. There was only one course. Either annihilation and the Dark Ages again, or victory. The title of this message tonight is Victory in Jesus. In Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 1, and we're going to preach from the Gospel of Mark, from Greek, by the way. But I'm going to read to you this from New American Standard and also comment a little bit from the Greek, change it a little. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's you and me. This is a circular letter that Paul wrote. It was sent out from Ephesus mostly, so it was called the Ephesian letter. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, that is our great enemy. That's our Nazi machine out there. That is our great enemy. That is our communist threat. According to the power of the air, the spirit that is now energizing the sons of disobedience. Romans 13:13 and John 12:31 talk about the same thing. Among them too you formerly walked in the lust of your flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the ones remaining out there, the ones remaining in that clutch of Satan. Does Satan ever lay aside his desire for us? Read the book of Job. No, he does not. The only victory we'll ever claim, and Churchill started this sign, victory. The only victory we can ever claim is in Jesus. We cannot do it in the flesh. Only when we trust in Jesus can we be victors. And it's only through Him. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love and which He loved us, even when we are dead in our transgression, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, let's go to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We're in a war. We're in a war. We're in a war that meets us each and every morning and follows us through the night and all the way to the bed. We're there. On our jobs, whatever it may be, maybe it's preaching, teaching. Yes, He follows you. Verse number 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, and you may be able to stand against the schemes and methods of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, not really, but against the rulers and the powers, against the world forces, the world grabbers is what it says in Greek. The forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Take up the full armor of God, that you be able to stand and resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand. Trust in Jesus. Stand firm, therefore, having your loins girded with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having been shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. In addition to all these things, taking up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to stand, to extinguish the flaming missiles, arrows of the evil one, the flaming arrows, those flaming arrows. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. 14th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark, 14th chapter. And we're in verse 22, and we're the Lord is instituting His Supper to His church. The church is in existence here. The church is here. Now this supper that He's going to institute, He's going to change things. They had already observed Passover. They had the meal, they had the lamb, they had the bread, they had the cups, a wine. And now, at the end of this supper, Jesus changes the world. The Jewish world is totally changed from now on. Now, the Passover meal was a national, regular Jewish tradition. But it was a family, individual tradition. Every Jewish family was supposed to remember the deliverance from the clutches of slavery and sin in Egypt. But now Jesus, the character of this is the redemptive character of Jehovah. Now this is Jehovah speaking here in these verses. Jehovah means He who shall become. And John 1:14 says, Kai hologo sarx aganoto, and the Word, or the Jehovah, flesh He became. The word hologos there is from the same exact word in Hebrew is hadavar. And when they spoke the name, or when they came to the name of Jehovah in the Old Testament after Exodus 20 and verse 7, they would not say His name. They would say Hadavar, or Hashem, the name. And the modern Jews would say Adonai, and that is not what is there. It is not Adonai. But it is that word. And John, in the Gospel according to John, he transliterated that into the Greek from the Hebrew. And it should read, in beginning was the Jehovah. And the Jehovah was, or kept on being, toward the God and separate part of the Godhead, because the Jehovah kept on being God. And John 1:14 says, Kai hologo sarx aganoto, and the Jehovah, flesh He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is who is speaking to us here. Jesus took this family tradition, this national family tradition, and turned it into a church tradition, the church family. Jesus had previously taught in Mark 3:33-35, that all earthly ties were inferior to the lows of the kingdom of God. The church is the administrator of God's kingdom in the world today. And no earthly ties are more important than that tie. At the Passover supper, a plate and a cup and bread was always set for Elijah. He would be the forerunner of the Messiah King. At the end of the supper, they would say, next year in Jerusalem. I want you to pay attention to what Jesus said. Now, you have to put all four Gospels together to understand everything about this. Jesus took Elijah's bread, and He said, this is My body. Take and eat it. He passed Elijah's bread out to His little church there. Then He told them, take, eat this. This is My body. Then He took Elijah's cup. And He said, this cup is a cup of My blood. And this cup is the blood of the new covenant that I shall make with you. He said, take, drink, this is the cup of the new covenant. Elijah had come and gone. Elijah was John the Baptist. Now Jesus takes the family Passover supper and dissolves that Jewish tradition. Jesus became the true Sabbath. Jesus became the true rock that followed Israel. Jesus was the bread of life. And Jesus was that eternal God Jehovah dwelling in flesh. Jesus said, I will not drink and eat with you of this supper until I come into my kingdom. Personally. Now the Catholic Church has what they call transubstantiation. They believe that the Lord's Supper is a vehicle of grace. And when they say the magic words, the bread becomes the body of Jesus and the cup becomes his literal blood. And when you take this in, it becomes a vehicle of grace, and through all the seven sacraments of the Church of the Catholic Church, you can get better every time you practice these sacraments. That is not true. That's man-made. The Lord's Supper is not consubstantiation. The Lord is not with that bread and that wine. But it is a memorial dinner that the Lord is there and we remember what he did for us. Now let's go on as we read it in Greek. Kai, ethionton, alton, labon, arton, eulogesos, ek lasen, kai, odoken, autois, kai, epen, labete, tuto esten to soma mu kai labon poterion eucharistisos edoken autois kai epoion ex auto pontes. And eating with them, after eating with them, having taken bread, this is Elijah's bread, he blessed it. He blessed it. And he broke it apart. He uploosed it. And he gave to them, and he said, Labete, you take this. This is the soma, the body of me. This is my body. I'm telling you what I'm going to do for you. Jesus is our victory. Almost every man religion has works from your flesh as pertaining to your salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our King. He is our Messiah. He is our substitute. Nothing we do in this world will equal or merit anything as retaining to salvation, soteriology, but the blood of Jesus Christ and his body. And having taken the cup, and having blessed it, he gave it to them, and they drank out of it. Now there was one cup, and that one cup stood for his all that he gave to us. God gave his all. And that one cup also stood for that one body of believers that was partaking of this Lord's Supper. Just a few days ago, we had the Lord's Supper at New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Now, the world looks upon the Lord's Supper as a vehicle of grace, many. And they look at it and they take it in different ways. True New Testament churches, the Lord's Supper is close communion. The church alone, that church, physical, visible body of believers right there, under the discipline of that church, takes that supper. There's another form of practice of the Lord's Supper called closed communion. C-L-O-S-E-D, communion. The people that practice this are like Lutherans, they are Catholics. You have to be a member of that denomination to take the Lord's Supper or communion with them. And is basically a vehicle of grace to some extent. And then there's open communion, where many churches practice that today. The only one of those that's really scriptural is close communion. The others are what we call irregular practices. When Jesus blessed the bread, he said, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, our Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam hamatzi lehem min ha'aretz. Those are the words that he spoke. Those are the words that were spoken in every Jewish home. But he changed the meaning of it so much, because the Lord God of the universe is him that stood there with the cup and with the bread. The cup of our redemption. He said, Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine, the genomatoste samplu in Greek. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melecha ha'olam borei pri ha'gafen. Those are the two blessings that were in every Jewish home. I wish every Jewish home today would realize that our Master and God, the only victory we will ever have in this world, is Jesus. And Israel won't understand that until the middle of the tribulation period. Now let's go on a little bit forward. 424. Kai et pen autois, tuto estento haima mu, tes diothekes, to ekenomenon heper polon. And he said, punctiliar action, to them, this is the blood of me, of the covenant. By the way, the word covenant, or diatheke in the Old Testament, is berith. And both of those means to cut, to divide. Without the shedding of blood, there is no ratification of any covenant, the old covenant or the new. And here Jesus said, I give unto you a new covenant in my blood. The covenant, the one having been poured out for the benefit on our own behalf of many. 14:25 says, Amen. Lego himen hote ukete ume pio ectu genomatos tes amplu eos tes hemeteras ekaines hotan autu pino kainon ento basilia tu theu. Amen, that's a word, a particle of affirmation. It means absolutely, I will stand and I will back it up. And this is the God of the universe saying this. Truly I say to you all. Now this word is first person singular, present active. It says that to us today even. It's a continuous thing. Amen, I truly say to you that no longer, no not, I shall drink out of the fruit of the vine until that day when I shall drink it new in the kingdom of God. I'll drink it anew in the kingdom of God. We take the Lord's Supper in our churches, I hope you remember the Lord. I hope you don't think it's a vehicle of grace. I hope that you know that that covenant was ratified by his blood, and that is a covenant of grace. For in grace you are having been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto good works, wherein we should walk in them. 26. Kai he men santes ek elthon eis to oros ton elon. And having sung a hymn, they went out eis to oros unto the Mount of the Olives. Now here is where Jesus goes to a terrible trial. And he goes to this trial because he feels the whole weight of the sins of all man that ever lived in the world from Adam to the end of the church age. Was upon him. There's only one way of salvation, and that's by grace. By grace. Kailagao tois ho Jesus ho te pontes. Skanda liste seste hote gegropte parazo ton poimene kai ta probata. Did I score peace the son? And he says to them, Jesus, because all of you shall be offended, caused to stumble, caused to trip up. They'd already been saved. They already saw the Lord and Savior heal the blind, raise the dead. But now they're going to be put in the hands of that evil one, Ephesians the 6th chapter and Ephesians the 2nd chapter. She'll be offended because of me. Because it has been written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep. They shall all be scattered. The sheep, thou shalt all be scattered. Let's read this in the 14th chapter. From the Amplified Bible. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, a slice of bread, not like our loaf today. He praised God and gave thanks and asked him to bless it for their use. And then he broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. He also took the juice of the grapes. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. And they all drank it. Now, oinos is wine. And what we call here is gematos teison pluth. That's fruit of the vine, grape juice. Now, it was wine, but it was fruit of the vine also. And God is the one that gives all these things to us. And he said to them, this is my body, my blood, which ratifies the new covenant. The blood, which is being poured out on account of many. Exodus 24 and verse 8. And solemnly and surely I'll tell you, I shall not again drink of the fruit of the vine till that day which I drink of it in new and in a higher quality in God's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives, and Jesus said to them, you'll all fall away this night. That is, you will be caused to stumble and will begin to distrust and desert me. Boy, the old Satan in this world, he does this to us every day, doesn't he? For it stands written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, in Zechariah 13 and verse 7. Verse number 28 now. Ola meta to eger theine me proxo himos eis tain Galilean. But after the resurrection, after I shall be raised, I shall go before you all unto Galilee. Galilee means circle, of course. Galilee is that whole 10 cities around the Sea of Galilee. 1429, Ho de patros Efe auto ekai pontes, scandaliste sonta, alla uc imbgo. But Peter, he said to him, if all they shall be offended and tripped up and trapped, but I not. Are you like Peter today? I'm not going to do it. I can do it. I'll die for you. Just give me the chance. I'll show you. I won't run. How many times have you run? How many times have you run? How many times have you denied Christ since you've been born again? We all do that. Do we all do that? Time after time after time again in this world. When we get to trusting in ourselves, we think we can do something on our own. We all fail. The whole world said, what will Churchill do? What will he do? He's the only hope. Every nation in Europe was saying, what will Churchill do? What will he do? Will he be able to save us? As they looked to Churchill, let's look to Jesus. What did Jesus do? We're going to find out what he did. He gave his life for us. He gave his all. Kaila gael to hoe sus alman lego sui potesi. Semeron tauto te nicton, or nicte that is, trin e dis electrora phonese me ap ar nese. And he says, third person singular, present indicative, act, he says, and he keeps on saying this, Peter will hear this in his ears from now on. Echo, 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 echo. Have you ever been in a mountain someplace, in a big canyon, and you hollered out, and you heard your voice echo and echo and echo off of every mountainside? Peter would hear this for the rest of his life. But he'd learned to trust in Jesus. When he was crucified upside down, history tells us he trusted in Jesus. And he says to them, to Jesus, Amen, lego sui hote, truly I say to you, all of you and individually, and Peter, that you, this very day, same in our own, taute, this very night, before he may twice crow, to sound off his sound, three times you shall deny me. Now, if there was a clock here, it would say 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. This evening, he told him now, it's just after 9 o'clock. He said, before the cock crows twice, you'll deny me three times. 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. Between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. in the morning, Peter would deny him three times. God, the roosters are God's alarm clock people. They crow every 3 hours, 24 hours a day. He told him what time he was going to betray him. What time? 14:31. Hode ek perisos. Elale an de mi sin apothene sui u me si apar ne somai hosontos de kai pontos elegon. But the one more exceedingly, he kept on saying, if it may be bindingly necessary, me, to die with you. If it is bindingly necessary for me to die with you, know not you, I shall deny. I shall denounce. Likewise, also all they kept on saying. Every one of them were copycats of Peter. Every one of them. And they kept on saying it, elegon, third person plural, imperfect, indicative, actually. They kept on ringing in Jesus' ears, no, we will die for you, we will die for you, we will die for you. They didn't, but they would later. When they finally began to trust, they were trusting in flesh here, people, in flesh and blood. Jesus that they were trusting in, they had seen him overcome all things, death, the weather, the authorities. He walked out when they tried to kill him. He just walked on. They saw him ride into the Jerusalem triumphant. On the soul of the foal of a donkey. They saw him as a king of glory. But that was only flesh and blood now. Now they're going to see Jesus Christ, Jehovah of the Old Testament, lay down his life for them on the cross of Calvary, and not one of them would stand by him, not one of them would defend him, not one of them would fight to the last man. Are you out there today struggling in this world? I am. You are. We can never trust in our own flesh, but only in Jesus Christ to save our souls and to help us through each and every day. Only can we have victory in Jesus if we trust in him. If we lay ourselves, our own minds away as we can fall into sin. We can fall into all the things that everybody else out in the world can do. But we have Jesus. World War II had two great men, Churchill and Roosevelt. We have Jesus. We have the God of the universe. I don't know what the world would have done without Churchill. I don't know what the world would have done without Roosevelt. But I know what the world would have done without Jesus. We'd all be going to hell today, all and every one of us. Not one of us could walk into the glory and say, I'm here on my own merits. Just think about for a while. What a miserable place heaven would be if you got there, perchance, by works, which is impossible. But all of those bragging to the God of heaven, how they worked so hard and how they were so pure in this world. But God saved us from all of that because he is our Savior. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out because we do have victory in Jesus. Help us to trust in him. Help us to follow his every footstep. Forgive us where he failed you. Forgive me where I failed you. And Father, if there's one out there tonight that listens to this message, wherever in the world they are, I pray that they will trust in you, Son, his death, burial, and resurrection, and be born again. And help us each and every day as we walk this land of evil things, the land of sin and rebellion. Help us to follow you. Give us the strength to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.